My name?
No, me first, Dad. I'll go first.
Yeah. Oh, hello. My name is Pajo Emisa Edu.
Okay.
Pajo Emisa Edu.
Okay. So I'll start, Dad. So my name is Kokali Emisa Edu. I'm 28 years old. Today is Wednesday, August 26, 2020. I'm in Elk Grove, California, here with my dad, Pajo Emisa Edu. And Dad, can you introduce yourself with the same?
Yes. Okay. So let's proceed.
Okay, Dad, say your name, your age, the date, and where you're calling from.
Okay, my name is Pajo Emisa Hyphen Edu. My age is 69 years old. I'm talking from Ghana, West Africa, the first sub-Saharan country to seek independence from the colony of British since 1957. I was 7 years old then. Mm-hmm. Okay. The country is G-H-A-N-A, Ghana, West Africa.
Okay. And you're my dad. You can say that. Okay. So, Dad, can you tell me what it was like growing up in Ghana?
When I left Ghana to the United States?
No, tell me what it was like growing up in Ghana.
You want to know when I left Ghana and why I left Ghana?
No, first tell me what it was like growing up when you were a kid in Ghana.
Oh man. Good old memories. Growing up in Ghana, first of all, most of our homes are compound. Compound houses where aunties, nephews, nieces, everybody have, some shared rooms, all spread out. So we grew up knowing all of our growing up aunties and uncles and nephews and nieces and cousins. So, well, it starts from the early morning of the day, which is like 4:30 or 5 a.m. in the morning. You know, we wake up with the chickens where they start crow. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Then, it's time to wake up. And then we start to do the house chores. Me and my senior brother, our duty was to go and fetch water from the public pipe because there was no pipes in the homes at the time. So you got to go and join the queue with your bucket and get your water and then bring them home, put it in a big barrel, fill it up. Our sisters, they're doing the dish washings and all that. When we done, they're filling up the barrel, then we sweep the compound, all the boys, and we sweep the compound. Meanwhile, your school clothing is all ironed out, ready to go. So when we finish all that, then we take morning bath and then put on our school uniform. And then we have to walk to me at the time, it seemed like 5 miles or something, but I just realized it wasn't that far. So we walk all the way. You better not be late. 8 o'clock exactly, you have to be in the assembly line where we are going to do the prayers and then the pledge, the national pledge, allegiance of, your loyalty and all. That became a routine every morning, Monday to Friday. So it was fun. First, it was difficult, but then it became so. And each day, they give you some kind of homework to take home. and you have to bring the homework the following day. If those days they used to even cane you if you make a mistake in your homework. I mean, with this. So that also became a normal self-assessment. Yeah, you can't even go home to complain to your mother or grandmother about to say, oh, that means you actually did something wrong. So if you are not lucky, you might get another whipping at home. So some of us decide not to even mention it. Just grow up to be tough boys. Boys don't cry, keep telling us. So, yeah, that's part of it. And the fun part is on the weekend, they will give us a real serious job, like either bring a cow dung from some up the hills there. There were some cows. So we'll go and get us. They give us a special bag to put them in and then bring it to school on Monday. So, and then some of us will have to either bring a broom or something that is from off the coconut tree or the palm tree, the branch, will turn it into broom. Yeah. So that they all bring some palm kernel shells. Yeah. So you see, every 7 days was vigorous. Yeah. You know, you have very little time to fool around or play around. You can't just drift away as you please. So you are always in check. Any relative or even a total stranger, if they see you misbehaving in their neighborhood, which normally happens because you want to do some things your parents say, don't go and do. That's exactly you go the opposite way, thinking you are hiding. A grown-up there will say, hey, kid, come here. What do you think you are doing? They don't even grab you and give you a couple of knocks on your head. Don't ever do this again. What house do you come from? Then you say the truth. Oh, I come from this. Ah! You come from a house like this and you are behaving like this. That is ridiculous. Now you grab you and bring you all the way to the house and tell your folks what is all you're doing. You know, all this is it was fun. And now it's fun for me, but then it was like, God, where can a man have to be free to do something? Anyway. Some of the growing up, but when I finally made it to elementary school, probably they will call it a junior high now. Elementary, yeah, because from there you are going to secondary school. So, and then the beating was still going on. Sometimes for a reason of you forgot your singing class book, you get 6 lashes and stuff. You know, a lot of some folks just fly off through the window, never to be seen again. They don't return. Their parents are fishermen or market women or something. So some people's career just ended right there sometimes. So my daddy got to hear about this weekend. One day, something happened. It was about a watermelon that it was growing near the school back then. And then we didn't even realize that somebody actually growing this. We saw them all lying everywhere with their vines. And so we grabbed one. And the owner somehow saw it and reported to the headmaster. And we got 6 lashes behind the back of our legs each. Ha! So I came on that day, I told My God, I've been beaten before, but this one is the most painful one. I haven't done anything wrong to be beaten like that. So it's okay, don't worry. They sent somebody. That time there was no phones around. Somebody had to take a vehicle, which is public transportation, from Accra, Labadi, all the way to Cape Coast, which is long ways, just to report that to my father. So my father got serious, got into his car, and he and his driver, they came to Accra and told me, come tomorrow, he's taking me away, me and my brother. So we ended up at Cape Coast. I went to, and then he put me in a private school called Penn West Preparatory School, Penn West. I was about 12, somewhere 13 there. So after a while, the teacher noticed that I was a little bit smart. So they gave me the school prefect position. So now I'm school prefect too. Hey, my daddy was proud, my brothers, everybody. Hey, Patrick's a school prefect. Okay. And then, at the age of 15, now it's time to go for the common entrance to enter a secondary school of your choice. You have three choices. You choose one, two, and three. So I chose the school my father and his brother all went, which is happens to be the number one secondary school at the time. It still is. It's called Infantity Secondary School. Infantity. Okay, I chose that school. The results came. I have passed. Passed with almost 98% passed. All right, now where's Daddy? Daddy, of course, at the time, he was a timber contractor. So he goes on trips, he can go for a week or two or three before he come back home. So he didn't show to school opened. I don't know whether he forgot I was supposed to go to school. So anyway, he showed up. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got a trunk and the trunk box. You have to go to that school with a trunk, which you put your clothing and stuff in. And then the trunk box is a little wooden box that you put your provisions like sardines and garlic and, emergency stuff, food. So we got all that together, then, boom, we drove up to the school in front of them. We got there, I saw some of my classmates, they are already in school uniforms. And some of them saw me, hey, prefect, They went in there and said, you guys don't even know, I have a problem. We went straight to the administration office. They showed my report that, I passed excellent. So what took me so long? The school have opened 2 weeks ago. There's no more beds in the dormitories. It's all filled up. So that means they have to refer me to another school because it wasn't their fault. It was my dad's fault. But anyway, he rest in peace. He didn't intentionally do that. So we went to this junior school, supposed to be some notorious type of school. But I got there too. They were already okay. So I ended up staying with the headmaster of the whole school, his boys' quarters. That's where I started my boarding school career. In the boarding school, my headmaster. Now what is it? First, I'm in the village area. Now I'm staying with the headmaster too. Okay, I went to first year, and then second year, some availability came. to then they moved me to a dormitory called Las Vegas. And they had some of the most notorious guys you ever know. But all smart cookies.
Oh my gosh. Dad? Did we lose you? Oh no. Hey, Dad? Oh, no.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, we got you back.
Hello?
Yeah.
I got cut off, eh?
Yes. Yeah, you dropped.
Were you hearing me rambling? No.
Yeah, I heard you.
When I was rambling? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why did it cut off?
I think,
okay, so shall I continue?
Yeah, Dad.
Or you have another question for me?
I have another question. So can you tell me, when did you decide to move to the U.S. and what was it like?
Oh, when did I decide to move to America?
Yeah.
The question?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That is. In 1971, it's the secondary school ordeal. By then, started playing guitar, music. I happened to be good at it, so I was playing with most of the big guys, among the youngest in the band, and I was almost attracting people who always say, hey, how can a small boy like that be playing with big guys like that? So there was an African American.
Oh no. Should I?
He may just be having a bad connection. So to get him in here, are you inviting him in, or is he clicking the link from a web browser?
I don't know if he's clicking the link or not. I've been doing this like invite thing on the bottom, but it's not responding the same way, because the first time I did that, it showed up like his box showed up.
Okay.
And now it's not doing anything when I click that.
Okay, so on my end, it looks like there are four people technically here, which means that I'm guessing that somewhere there's like a little glitch on his end. I wonder if he could access it via the internet, but do audio only.
So just click the link.
So instead of doing that, you would forward him the link that you use to get in here. He would just need to connect to the internet and try to pull it up that way and see if it works.
Okay. Okay, I just asked him to do that.
I'm so sorry. The connection is kind of wonky.
Yeah, sorry. I thought.
No, don't be sorry at all. I'm hoping we can get him back in here.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, we haven't got to the.
I know. I feel like we were just like getting.
Wow. Okay. Oh, man.
Has he always lived in Ghana? Like since no.
He lived. We live in California. He just moved back to Ghana last year.
Oh wow. Wow. And I'm sure especially right now it's hard having him so far away.
Yeah, that was definitely not expected, but yeah.
Did he like retire and choose to move back or something?
Yeah, he always wanted to move back, I think, when he got older. And so it just, yeah, he moved back last year after he retired. I think he was like 68 and he moved back. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom is from El Salvador and she's always wanted to move back.
Okay. She's
not retired yet, but one day.
Yeah, it's too bad. We were hoping to go visit because he's turning 70 in October and he was going to have a big party, but it's off the table now.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a lot of family there still?
Yeah, he has a lot of siblings. And like some of his nieces and nephews and stuff. I think he has a pretty big family. I've never actually met a lot of them. So
That's so cool.
Yeah. well, this is too bad. Oops, I think I just made a fifth person. I tried both ways.
Okay, I see. So the people are just from the invite thing. So that's a good thing to know.
I'm gonna try calling
him.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm having technical issues.
Okay. All right, we're good. Go ahead.
Okay. So where was I? On my way to the U.S. of America on the December month, 1973, at the age of 23. I landed in first went to Italy on an Alitalia flight, and we had to change flights from Italy to the United States. So they said we have about 30 minutes to go get off the plane and so that we'll go and join the other one. So we got I was, as usual, I'm wearing some. My African cotton robe or something. Back in Ghana, it's nice and cool and fashionable. Not knowing it's freezing like something, and I couldn't get out from the place. They had to beg me, force me to get out. They couldn't get the other place. I said, oh my goodness, where are they taking me now? Then here is this huge plane, like three-story building, that is gonna take off from there to New York, from New York to Detroit. Oh, I saw the plane, I said, hey, is this plane gonna be able to lift off? Well, it did, and then next thing I know, after a few, 10 hours or 11 hours, here we saw the Statue of Liberty. And the pilot said, oh, we are almost to the JFK airport. So finally we are in this America. So then they landed. And meanwhile, since they noticed that I've been called, a few of the sponsors, their friends, have brought jackets and hoods. So I ended up wearing about two or three jackets all in one time, because it was cold, winter time. So from there to, we have to change another plane to take from New York to Detroit, Michigan. Okay, got there. The family members that have been informed, so they make a fireplace. I got there and I'm sitting right by the fireplace shaking, you know, like a leaf. And then I said, yay, my goodness, is this how America is going to be cold like that? I cannot live in this room. I won't survive here. They said, well, don't worry, in about four months or 5 months from now, it will be nice and warm. I said, 4 or 5 months? Oh, my goodness. You guys trapped me. This is not slavery, it's trapped me. Okay. Coming from nice warm weather now to extreme cold weather. Then I stayed there for. Yeah, my body's Hilma Sikela and the band Ijola Sounds. They're looking for me. They had arrived in America, so they needed me. So then I took the Greyhound bus. We took from 4 days from Detroit to reach California. I got to California. It was nice. I said, now we are talking. So I joined the guys in 1975. Now Hilma Sikela is in the band, it's becoming famous. We perform notables like Stevie Wonder, Jackson 5, and you know, whole lot of musicians come there because African bands were not common to see at the time. So we were packing up areas. We were becoming household names. We were young and energetic, and you know, our style of music was something new to them. So that was it. Then we started having tours here and there. We were sharing stages with great names. Elvin Jones is in Santana and all that. So, you know, it was fun in the long run. And then ended up living in California for the most of my stay in California. Yeah. Yeah. So, now, on that note, Angel Sounds, well, we are no longer a group, but we have recordings that we have done. So that I'm in Ghana now to, if I get a chance, to start promoting the CDs. Now they say they don't even use CDs anymore. You have to have pen drive or something. So I'm trying to figure how to get a pen drive together before I even show up at the radio station for interview. So that too is becoming a dilemma. But I am home. Retired from working, 69, and coming this October, right after your birthday, on the 26th of September, and on the 7th of October, you remember we shared a birthday 1 week apart.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get my little family unit, invited, a small gathering for my 70th birthday right here in my house. Yeah. Which I'm hoping will be
better. I'm sad we can't come, Dad. The pandemic has just...
Pardon?
I said, I'm sad we can't come. The pandemic has ruined everything.
Yeah, you know, your children are not old enough to travel, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, the virus, the coronavirus, is restricting traveling and stuff. So, yeah, I know you would have loved to, because I keep telling my sisters here that you and Amma are the only children who haven't visited Ghana. But you deserve to visit Ghana. You know, but unfortunately, the coronavirus has, you know, in between. Now we talk about real social distance.
Yeah.
You want to go, but you can't go. Because there's no planning and moving.
Uh-huh. One day. One day.
Pardon?
One day we'll get to come out there.
Uh-oh. It was
That's okay. I'm going to ask my next question now.
Okay.
So
next question?
Yeah, next question. So one of our favorite things when me and Alma used to come to Mendocino was when you would tell us Anansi stories. Do you have one you can share?
Yes, I do. I do remember one that when I tell you guys, we used to laugh a lot before we go to bed. But that time, concerning the hunchback, three hunchback people, I have another one. It's about Anansi. You know, Anansi story. It's the famous Anansi. Yeah, I have a story about him and his little village to share with you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Long time ago, once upon a time, there was this little village. It's about 100 or something population. It's a village. And the other little village around there too. But this particular village has a lot of fertile grounds where everything you put in the ground grows. It grows beautifully too. So Anansi, as usual, was living in that village with his wife. And then the farm belongs to the community, the whole village people. So there's always abundance of food. So knowing Anansi and his great stuff, after some years, he decided he wanted to have most of the food all for himself. Because some of the food stuff, after harvesting, they took it to the marketplace in the nearby places who don't have food and sell them there. So Anansi said, oh, wow, you can make coffee for people. Okay, now I have to think of a thing or two to do. So he thought about it. They said, I've got an idea. I'm going to pretend I'm dead. And then I'll tell my wife and my family member, if I die, they should bury me in the middle of that farm with cooking utensils and everything that you can cook, cold pork and all. He said, oh, but why? I said, don't ask me. I said, just bury me with all of this stuff and make sure it's in the middle of the farm because I don't want to be far away from that farm. Okay, your wish is our command. Because Anansi, he can sell an ice cube to an Eskimo type of human, Kanaiva. So they honored his wishes, and then he decided when he was going to die. And he has taken some medications, some herbs that will preserve him for at least 24 hours, so that when he takes it again, he goes numb. It will declare him, oh, he's dead. But after 24 hours, that he will get up. So he took that and he decided what he was going to do. And he did it. He gathered the ring up and did it. And then the only of his wishes, he said, when he dies, he shouldn't wait more than 24 hours to go and bury him. They should take him right away and bury him there. No, he waited to the 24th hour and said, okay, now, when I die, take me on the 24th hour and then just bury me. And don't dig the hole too deep, just shallow area so he can be able to get out from it. So anyway, they honored all that, all his cooking utensils and everything. And then he started to place. After they left, they cried and everything, everybody gone. He started his operations, having a feast on the farm each night, cooking and eating most of the harvest food. So I took up for where, and the villagers noticed that, how come our crops are getting short like that? Something is going on here. So eventually, somebody realized that, hey, we forgot the person we buried here. It's a cannibal. Maybe it's behind this. So most people say, oh, no. The person is dead. We buried him. How can he do that? They said, knowing him, he's capable of everything. So anyway, they had council meetings with the chiefs and everything. So one wise guy came up and said, you know what, let's make a statue looking like one of us in the middle of where we buried him, let's write this and design him to be, and put a rubber glue, like Hello, can you still hear me?
Yes. Dad, what is that?
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Somebody was calling me all of a sudden.
Oh, okay.
So now, where was I? They designed this thing and put it in the middle of the farm. I'm almost to the end of the story. So, Anansi woke up middle of the night, he saw this thing standing there, and he asked, hey, who are you? What do you want here? Are you trespassing? Of course, it's a statue, so he won't speak back. Anansi said, look, when I ask you a question, I want you to answer. Who are you? The person said, he said, look, don't let me come closer there because you're already getting on my nerves here. The person still didn't say anything. So he got close and said, look, now I hate violence, but if you force me to the this thing, I may have to apply. If the tuition fails, I may have to apply force. The person still didn't think. So here goes his right hand, pow, slapping the person. And then the right hand got stuck. He said, hey, my right hand got stuck. Wait till I use the left on you. Then he applied the left to that two got stuck. Oh no. This is getting worse. All this time, whoever this is not saying a word. Then it's okay, let me try my knees. He tried the left knee, the right knee, they all got stuck. And then he said, okay, here comes the big bang. My forehead is the most dangerous weapon. And boom, he hit the man in the face and really got totally stuck. Now, he was stuck all night long. Till the following morning, the villagers came to the farm. They saw Anansi stuck on this statue. Hey, Anansi, we thought you died. We buried you a couple of years ago. So, actually, if I'm saying it in a different way, you'll be laughing and rolling by now. But if you know Anansi and his character, the essence of this story is greediness, selfishness, and conniving. They don't work, never work. So, in other words, do not be a conniver and a greedy and a selfish person. This is the story mostly about to teach people that all this thing that is not worth anything.
Yeah, I like that
and
one.
Plus, it brings shame. So this is the reason why most of the time they released him, of course, they released him, and then from the shame he said he went and hid in some corner of some hut, you know. So he's always hiding because he's full of shame. Yeah, it's hiding in corners. You don't see them just playing like flies and ants, and ants is always in a hiding corner somewhere.
Yeah. I like that story. That was fun. They always have a good lesson.
Pardon?
I said those stories always have a good lesson.
Yes, always. It's a lesson behind. Yes. Yeah, it's always a lesson, you know, and that Nancy happens to be the character representing, you know, humans, you know, as we in every society, there are some people who behave like that.
Yeah.
So it just tells you those things are not worth practicing because it doesn't end well anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so that's the Anansi Chrome story. Anansi Chrome means Anansi village story.
Oh.
They named the town, the village after him, Anansi village.
Oh, okay.
Anansi Chrome.
Well, Dad, we have about 5 minutes left. So I want to ask you one question.
Okay.
Okay. So what do you miss about California since moving back to Ghana? Or do you not miss it? What's it been like?
What I miss a lot now is, you know, the last time I was there in California, before coming, I visited you, Julian and Brian. It was great. It was great for me to meet. I said, hey, my little KK, he's got a son. Wow. That is still now every now and then I check on the video and watch Julian growing up like mushroom. And then from your place there, went to Amma Space School, and then and so Violet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was sitting in the living room when I first saw her crying. And Emma was in the bathroom or something. I said, Emma, come, I think she's crying. It was fun. She was in front of me, the kid is crying. Just said, okay, that's an experience. And then there's a lot, you know. Then growing up single, when Emma was playing rugby and you were being a goalkeeper for your Piedmont school, you know.
Yeah.
Dropping Emma off at 4 years at school with a backpack, red riding, and then. And then you do know when I used to take you guys to high school in Brooklyn, the grammar school, I think.
Yeah.
Do you remember those days?
Yeah.
It was fun. I miss all of that. Yeah. And the most important one is when I got to play doctor for the first time in my life. Doctor. When your mom delivered you, I was in the hospital. And the doctor gave me the scissors to cut your umbilical cord. Hey, now I'm a real doctor. I'm going to cut it like this. So he showed me, say, just click on it. So I did it with steady hands, even though I've had a few distance from being nervous. I was steady enough to click it. All the children, yeah, the only one I was given permission to click the medical away from your mother. I clicked it.
Yeah.
And doctor congratulated me that I'm well and they washed me down and all that. At the summit hospital in Oakland.
Wow.
So you see, the memories are on and on and on and on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then the little birthday parties that we used to have on 6th, 7th, 5th, you know, with your dollhouse and your, you know, the little playhouses in the back there.
And now we just had Alma's 30th birthday party in the backyard, in the same yard.
Yeah. I've done video too.
Okay. Well,
and yeah, I didn't even remember you calling that much. That's why I know you are working. But we can't work out yet. We have to make fences around.
Yeah.
I think that time we were staying upstairs somewhere, so we got to be protective before we move to 67 and 70.
Yeah. All right, Dad. Well, we're at the end of our time. So,
well, I hope everything came through clearly enough.
If not,
I hope they come. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the memories are, you know, those are the four that I can remember to talk to you guys about every now and then.
Yeah.
Which, if you hadn't been for this corona stuff, like if you had been here to like 2 weeks, for my birthday, it would be fun to just go to the beach and you guys will have fun for 2 weeks of fun of your life.
I know. Yeah, well,
but we'll wait for the right time, hopefully the right time will come.
That's okay? Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Dad.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, KK. Thank you. It means thank you.
Thank you.